to the Holoscott Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Holocult. You know what that means. We're back. And you've chosen us to kickstart your wonderful work week. And for that, we are forever grateful. So thank you. If you're new here and you don't want to listen to us talk, I don't know why you're here, first off. But secondly, like, get through a bunch of the show kind of, you know, chores, I guess it is. You can just fast forward to about 6 minutes, and that's when we really get into the crux of the good stuff. But if you're, you know, a regular here, what's up, weirdos, first off? Also, you know this, you know the drill, you know the spiel. We got to get through all this. So check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search us up, Holosky Podcast. Come be part of the community. Join the Holo Cult. It's a cool cult. Everybody likes it. It's a good time. I didn't even tell you what today's show was going to be about. It's a new 40 and 50. I know I'm kind of dragging my feet on these, but we're going to get through it. We're going to get to your state. Everybody calm down.
I feel like it's better to do them at random.
Yeah. And people just don't get, like, you don't know what to expect, right?
Yeah, I think people get fried if you just did it show after show after show after show.
Yeah, I'm going in alphabetical order, so just you're just going to have to wait your turn, yeah. Okay? If you wanted to be closer to the front of the line, you should have picked a different state with a better alphabet letter beginning.
Yeah, well, I mean, drink some Kool-Aid and calm down.
Today, we're jumping into Colorado after we get through the biz. So... already told you to check us out our socials. If you have a paranormal encounter you'd like for us to feature on a future show, Thursday show of the Listener Experience Edition, Kyle's got the deets.
I do. HollowsGuyPodcast@gmail.com. That's an easy way of doing it. You can check the show notes. The information's in there too. Steve made a good point that we should probably start remembering. You can also go to the website. On the front page, you can submit your story there and hit enter, and it automatically goes to us as well. I always forget about that. Steve forgets about that, except this time he remembered, and then he reminded me, and then now here we are. But either way, those will electronically move through consciousness, end up in our mailbox. We put it in the patented filing system, off to fame and fortune for you. Is what it is.
I love that they all end in fame and fortune. We can't promise that.
I mean,
we can.
We're facilitators, right?
Yeah, we can promise it, but that doesn't mean the promise is going to come true.
Yeah, we got to manifest it.
This thing with promises, they're easily broken.
That's true.
If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. Patreon, for a mere $7 a month, you can get extra shows, ad-free shows. Again, we all know how much you all hate the ads. They're a necessary evil, which you can eliminate by joining the Patreon. So there's your solution.
Somebody's got to help us make it rain.
It's a problem, solution. Problem, solution.
I know, yeah. Steve also wants to, like, staple $100 bills on his head and stuff.
I don't.
He does. He told me.
Okay.
Take a $100 bill and make it to a grill.
I would do a $100 bill grill. There's probably gross things on a $100 bill. Yucky stuff.
It could be worse, though, right?
Could be. Maybe not, depending on what's on it. That being said.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. We're going to roll this back. That's where ignorance is bliss.
I feel like in the context of things being put into my mouth, ignorance is not bliss.
No, that's not true. Ignorance is bliss. Because I feel like odds are you've probably had equally or more dirty things end up in your mouth than what's $100 bill. Like, let's be 100% honest at this point.
That's probably a fair assessment.
See. Man, when I'm right, I'm right. It's hard to beat me.
It's probably a fair assessment.
I mean, I am just one millennial man, so I have that going for me.
You are. I'm just a noob, so nobody listen to me. Anyway, Anyway, if you don't know what we're referring to, please hop over to YouTube and watch people cry about our videos.
Yay.
It's a lot of fun.
It is funny. It's quite humorous.
And everybody that bitches can suck it.
It's also that.
Anyway, speaking of supporting us, over at the Patreon, you get all kinds of stuff. Ad-free shows, all kinds of goodies. You can go to hollowskypodcast.com. Check out some merch. We got shirts, hats, beanies, stickers, all kinds of good stuff. Also, word of mouth is the best thing you can do. It's free. It helps us out. Just throw our name in the hat wherever it is, social media, Reddit. Anytime anybody's talking about paranormal shows, throw us out there. If you've got paranormal shows you like to listen to, throw our name in the hat. Maybe we can collab. We have been getting some emails from some shows that people have thrown our name out to. So once we get our schedules figured out, we're going to start doing some collab, maybe some swap shows. We're gonna get it figured out. That way, you know, all your favorites in one little bundle there. It's going to be a good time. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review, and we'll gladly shout you out.
I feel like I haven't heard one of these in forever.
A 5-star?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
because I know that we have, but I just feel like I haven't heard it in forever.
Mm. Well, today's your lucky day.
It is my lucky day.
This one's from our friend KTeddy58. KTeddy says, 5 stars. Love them. Gets me through the workday. Love these guys. Been here for a couple years now and look forward to more. Well, KTeddy, we look forward to you looking forward. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And we appreciate the kind words.
Yeah.
It offsets all the people that are stupid.
Fucking truth. That was a brilliant way of putting that.
It is. It's a fact.
We appreciate that.
We like smart listeners that are nice.
Yeah. Mostly just nice, though. Yeah. We don't really care if you're smart or not.
If you're nice, you're smart. That's just.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then that logic applies and fits.
If you're stupid, you're a dick.
That's true.
So that's just how that is. We're a little bitter.
That's true.
We're trying to stay professional. It's not working.
We're not good at professional.
No, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
So anyway, with that being said, now you get to listen to some sponsors. Hey, Holocult. Have you ever gotten back from a paranormal investigation and woken up with some funky symptoms like a swollen, itchy eye, tight pain in your neck, or weird cold symptoms that just won't go away, and then you immediately Googled it or searched TikTok to see what's wrong? We've all gone down that rabbit hole, but it's time to get the help and care you need with ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. Luckily, I haven't had to book an actual doctor's appointment. I've stayed pretty healthy, but I have used the app to book a mock appointment, and it is great. It's so easy. It's a one-stop shop for any of your booking needs. You can search up doctors close by, doctors in your insurance network, ones that have short wait times. It really is nice. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/hollow1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/hollow1.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/hiddentruecrime or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/hiddentruecrime.
All right. We are back. we're going to dive into some weird Colorado-ness. Some weird Colorado-ness.
I've never been to Colorado, have you?
Yes, once.
Was it cool?
Yeah, I drove through Granby right before Killdozer bulldozed it down.
Fake, but it's obviously not, because I do know that story.
Yeah, we drove through just a few hours before old boy decided he'd had enough.
And what a crazy turn of events, because if you were just a couple hours behind, you'd have been caught in the middle of that shit.
I'd have been cheering him on, watching bulldoze City Hall down.
It would have been wild.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. But I went to Steamboat Springs. I think it was a ski resort town we went.
I've heard of that place.
I was 18, I think. Like a family vacay.
Dude, did you do some sweet skiing and backflips and shit?
Oh, no. It was in the middle of summer, so there wasn't any. Well, I mean, there was still snow way up in the mountains, but like the ski resorts weren't open.
You should have took a helicopter up there, jumped out of the helicopter onto the mountain, and skied down that shit. That would have been probably the toughest promo for Hollow Sky.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that far ahead.
You should have.
I did.
Do better.
I should have. I'll try it harder next time. Okay. When I figure out time travel and move back in time, and then I relive that point in my life, I'll do that.
That's good. It's good. So you're learning.
Because the gate program isn't going to work out for me because I'm just stupid.
That's true. You're definitely being a pick me.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot, like, digging into some Colorado stuff. It was more difficult than it should have been, I guess.
I could assume that. I feel like I don't hear much out of Colorado now that I think about it.
Colorado, you have some big things. Like, you have the Denver International Airport and all the conspiracies around that. But that's like its own show, and it's just like a show on its own.
100%.
You got the hauntings of the Stanley Hotel, which could be its own thing, because the Stanley is like a staple in like the haunting world. But just finding little snippets and stuff was difficult. But I do got a few here, and I got a couple books here that I pulled some stories up for that I'm going to share if we get to that point. The first and probably most prominent thing that I have found is the mutilation of Snippy the horse. I think we probably talked about it in some of our animal mutilation.
I don't know that we have, because this does not sound familiar at all to me.
Oh, it's, I don't know if it's necessarily like the first animal mutilation case, but it's definitely the first like mainstream media animal mutilation case. I know you've seen the pictures probably, but like this poor horse, like from its chest up, is just completely devoid of like skin and flesh.
That's weird.
Yeah. I got a picture of it in a book somewhere. I can pull it up. But I'm just going to go off the Wikipedia here.
Would you want to skin a horse?
Why do aliens cut out cow anuses and shit?
Well, I mean,
they're weird.
There's an explanation or two I could probably come up with that's not PG enough to talk. It's definitely not. Definitely can't be talking about it here.
I mean, maybe.
But it sounds like flashlight.
Yeah, see? Look, the whole just bones from the top up.
That's weird.
Isn't that crazy as shit?
Yeah, that's weird.
That sucks.
How the fuck does that happen?
Aliens.
It's gotta be, because it's like perfectly cut.
Yeah, aliens.
And then it's literally just a...
If it's gonna be a scavenger, weird. It's gonna eat the rest. You're not just gonna eat the neck meat.
Yeah, typically scavengers start at the backside and work forward.
Hey, you just ain't gonna eat the neck meat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think scavengers usually go for the intestines and all that, all the gross stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna jump in the Wikipedia of the mutilation of Snippy the horse was a death and alleged dissection of a Colorado horse that was first widely reported on October 5th, 1967. Mainstream experts concluded that the death was a result of natural causes.
Okay.
Of course they did. That's totally how a horse dies.
Yeah.
By having its whole neck and head and face skin and muscle and tissue pulled off.
I love it.
Yeah. Though sensationalized by the press and unsubstantiated folklore questioned whether the death and mutilation might be linked to satanic cults, intelligence operations, or even flying saucers. The skeletal remains are currently part of a UFO tourism attraction.
Oh, shit, so somebody snagged the whole skeleton up?
There's a conspiracy behind that as well.
What?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay, I want to know why there would be a conspiracy behind it. I guess I could come up with reasons, but...
Okay. The Snippy case occurred on the Harry King Ranch located in Colorado's San Luis Valley near Alamosa. On October 5th, 1967, papers across the country published the sensationalized headlines such as "Flying Saucer Killed My Horse." Press accounts told the story of Snippy, a three-year-old Appaloosa mare that was stabled at the Harry King Ranch of Alamosa, Colorado. Press reported that Snippy had failed to return to the ranch for her usual evening drink on September 7th, prompting a search. On September 9th, rancher Harry King found Snippy dead and mutilated about a quarter mile away. According to press reports, King found the animal completely skinned with the meat of the neck and shoulders missing, leaving only bleached bones. Cuts were described as completely smooth, and it was reported there was a total absence of blood in the animal and on the ground. King noted an absence of tracks also around the dead horse. The following day, King returned to the site with Snippy's owners, Burl Lewis, and his wife. The site was now reportedly pervaded with a sickening sweet odor, and the once bleached bones had turned bright pink. Mrs. Lewis reported handling a piece of the horse's flesh and described it as sticky and slick. She reported her hand had begun to burn and turn red. The burning continued until her hand had been washed. The Lewises phoned Alamosa County Sheriff Ben Phillips, who told them that the death was probably due to, quote, a lightning strike, and never even bothered to come out and visit the site.
Yes. Yes. He got lightning struck on the head and it just blew everything off.
Yeah, and then burnt your owner's hand whenever you touched. That's not how lightning works.
Because I know it takes a hot minute for bones to essentially turn white, right?
Yeah, they have like to white, bleach. White. They bleach in the sun.
What the fuck turns it pink?
Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Every question you ask me, the answer is going to be aliens.
I'm with you. But
horse mutilation.
I can't help but this sounds like
aliens.
It should be in like the Twilight TV show.
It probably was.
Or whatever the fuck. That's what it feels like to me. Everything. The names, Harry King Ranch, just sounds fucking made up. I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
I'm with it.
We're going from bloodless precision cuts
to pink bones,
to bleached bones, to pink bones.
It's crazy.
To burning your hand like it's fucking alien acid.
Yeah, it is alien acid.
That's what I figured.
That's how the flesh melted off.
It's a xenomorphs.
Yeah, that's how the flesh melted off. It was like that one Jurassic Park critter with the.
Yeah, but he just shot tar.
Yeah, but it's still burnt though.
Okay. I don't know if it did or not, but either way,
it's science.
Yeah.
Okay, so the group reportedly discovered indications of an aircraft landing. The terrain featured circular exhaust marks, squashed bushes, and circular indentions in the dirt. A Geiger counter allegedly reported high radiation counts around the exhaust marks and flattened bushes. By September 23rd, the bones had allegedly turned black. So now, from white to pink to black. The press reported that the rancher's mother, Agnes King, age 87, claimed that a large object passed over the ranch house the day of Snippy's disappearance, though she could not identify the object because she was not wearing her glasses. Other local UFO reports were discussed. Reception and influence. The story was republished by the wider press and distributed nationwide. This case was the first to feature speculation of extraterrestrial beings and unidentified flying objects as being associated with mutilation. So it was kind of like the first crossover mutilation UFO alien case. By December 1st, civilian UFO researchers from NICAP reported that the case was neither a UFO case nor particularly mysterious. So,
okay. How was it not mysterious? I'll never understand that. Seeing a dead animal, not that mysterious, but there's a lot of things that happen that are normal with a dead animal.
Yeah. Seeing an animal with its flesh removed from the top half of its body and its bones turn pink.
It's not normal.
That's mysterious.
Yeah. That's strange
to me.
No blood around at all whatsoever. That's a little weird.
Maybe I'm the odd man out. Seeing a pink bone, headless, fleshless, headless horse. The head is still there. Just no meat on the bones.
Yeah.
The pink bones that are now black bones.
Yeah.
But it's fine. That week, Snippy's bones were turned over to a local veterinarian for preservation. Later, press coverage mentions that the horse had been shot in the rump. Quote, two students from Alamosa State College confessed to sneaking out into the pasture and shooting the horse several weeks after the case was publicized.
What the fuck?
That sounds like a red herring there, bud.
100%.
We got an alien horse.
Shoot a dead horse in the butt?
No, they're saying they shot it before. They're the ones that killed it, but they didn't come out until weeks after.
Oh, you're right, right. So they shot it in the butt and it blew its head meat off.
Yeah.
That visual would be something to see.
That's convenient.
Not to mention if that ammunition was around, it would be highly desired by a lot of people.
the butt flesh blower.
Yeah.
A subsequent investigation by the Condon Committee concluded that, quote, there was no evidence to support the assertion that the horse's death was associated in any way with abnormal causes. Totally normal. In 1968, Edward Condon, leader of the committee, recalled the Snippy case as the most bizarre report that his group had ever investigated. So he changed his mind that, yeah, this is weird.
Well, at least now it makes more sense.
In 1968, the story was further propagated by paranormal author John Keel and sci-fi comics creator Otto Binder. Binder. Subsequent interest. Beginning in the 1970s, the U.S. experienced waves of cattle mutilation that were likened to Snippy's death. Mutilation investigator Linda Moulton Howe revisited the Snippy case, interviewing witnesses for a 1989 book, An Alien Harvest. According to her sources, the horse was not actually named Snippy. Snippy had been the sire of the mutilated mare, which was actually named Lady. Despite this, Snippy remains the common name used to refer to the dead horse. The preserved skeleton was passed from owner to owner until 1921, when the skeleton was obtained by the UFO Watchtower, a Colorado tourist attraction. I've never been to the UFO Watchtower, but I would like to go there someday.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, we should probably hit it up.
But I did find a conspiracy about the Snippy's bones, right? Uh-huh. Because there are reports that when they went to retrieve the bones, the bones disintegrated.
Interesting.
But that had been covered up. They said the bones had disintegrated and they were replaced by another horse that had recently died to be sent off to the veterinary.
Okay, so a couple questions.
I probably don't have the answers.
Yeah, you will.
Aliens are the answer.
Why?
Aliens.
Why did they need to send off bones in the first place?
To prove that there wasn't anything mysterious, right? So if you have a case so sensationalized.
I guess under those regards, okay, I understand that.
Because once everything started blowing up, they're like, well, people's going to want to know what killed this horse. So we're going to send it to the vet. The vet's going to say, it was shot in the butt. That's how this happened.
Yeah.
And everything's going to be cool.
Right.
It's not cool.
All right. And then next question, why does one purposely preserve the bones?
Tourist attraction.
Yeah.
No, that's a good fucking point. If there was nothing weird about it, why preserve the bones?
Yeah.
Just bury the horse.
Yeah.
Good call, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing, like I said, it feels twilighty. It feels intentional. It feels weird.
Yeah.
The whole thing just feels weird.
Sus.
It is.
Sus.
Definitely aliens, but it feels weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alien stuff is weird, though. Yeah. I don't know. It's just strange.
I'm trying to remember where I got.
And I kind of feel like it's almost like the aliens fucked up. Like they're like, hey, this looks like the thing that we're after. And they murked it. And then they're like, shit, this is a horse. This isn't a cow. So we gotta do cows.
Whoopsie. Right?
Because there's, as far as I know, far more cow mutilations than horse mutilations. Right?
Yeah. You don't hear of horse mutilations.
No, that's often. What I was thinking. That's why this took me back when you brought it up. because I was like, I don't think that I've heard of horse mutilation. I'm sure they're out there. It just, there's no way that there's as many as cows for whatever reason. Cows seem to be where it's at. Maybe they make some sweet burgers out of it or something. I don't know.
Except for that horse neck meat.
Yeah, maybe that hit the spot. I don't know. Or maybe not because they switched over to cows.
Could be. So this next encounter I found here comes from Weird America by Jim Brandon, a guide to places of mystery in the United States. I know there's a lot of controversy around Jim Brandon, but you also can't let encounters like fall to the side because the person who collected them is a douche. So I don't know what to tell you.
I don't feel like I know who this is, so I don't have a judgment.
No, he said some not so great things about specific people and stuff, and it was a whole thing.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So this one, again, is from the Weird America. It's just titled The Gypsy Aliens. UFO watchers have long been mystified by apparent involvement of this, like, I know gypsy can be like a derogatory term, and I feel like the way that he probably uses this didn't help.
I feel like it shouldn't, though, because it's a cool word. I wouldn't be mad if somebody called me a gypsy.
Yeah, the involvement of gypsies on the fringes of the phenomenon. This cropped up, quote, in spades near here in the summer of 1976. Michael Lusigan, a 38-year-old patent examiner from Washington, D.C., became lost on a hiking trail. Although never far away, he was not found by a 40-man search party that beat bushes for several days. Finally, on June 13th, two motorcyclists saw him in the small canyon about 650 feet below the Juniper Pass lookout, a mile east of here on Route 103. He said that on the second day of his wanderings, a Wednesday, which has often been claimed to be the likeliest of day for such UFO matters, not sure where he got that, but he was making his camp for the night when he was joined by some gypsy people in a group. There were about 15 of them, and they were all ages. He said they could have been American Indians, but he wasn't sure. These people did not respond to his questions. They ousted him from his camp, and they vanished the next morning. They traveled in, quote, rectangular machines and strange cloud formations with lights.
I don't even know what to fucking think right now.
I love that this old boy gets lost, builds a camp, 15 people come in rectangular cloud machines, kick him out of his camp, don't even talk to him. When he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? They're just like, no. And then he's like, you know what? It could have been Native Americans.
But also gypsies.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was aliens.
I mean, when you start off with rectangle craft coming in, I don't know if there's a whole lot of like, I think dude was stuck on ethnicity a little much here.
Yeah, I think that's why Jim Brandon's kind of got a bad name for himself, because this kind of focuses on things that aren't really important to the cloud people. The rectangular ship folk.
I'm really genuinely confused and dumbfounded by this situation here. How, unless the rectangle riders somehow screen memory him into making him think that they were
even then
of a certain person.
Even then, if they did look like Native American people, they're riding in rectangular cloud machines.
That should be the giveaway. Like, easy, because I was, you know,
I think old Michael here was hitting too many of the fucking clouds before he went on his hike.
Yeah, there's definitely like Nordic looking people, and there is like the I know we've talked about it before, where the Mayans may have figured a way off planet in spaceships and shit. So I mean, it's possible, you know, I guess. But like you said, like the big key factor here is that they showed up in the rectangle riders And that, I mean, there shouldn't be a whole lot more debate past that point.
No, and rectangular doesn't sound very aerodynamic.
No, no.
I feel like they could have chosen a lot of different options there.
None of us Native Americans. Clearly.
I just, because trying to find things on Colorado, like there's a lot of like talking about like ancient archaeological sites and stuff, but finding things that are like paranormal was hard. And I got to the end there where like the whole story is not very interesting to get to that last line. They traveled in rectangular machines and strange cloud formations with lights. Yeah. Moving on, the Vampire of Lafayette. In the old municipal cemetery of Lafayette lies the grave of Theodore Todor Glava, known to be a miner from Eastern Europe who died during the influenza pandemic of 1918. Little is known when the myth began or where it originated from, but Glava's grave earned the reputation of being that of a vampire over the years due to the gravestone's mention of Transylvania.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Terry Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
The region in Romania has become synonymous with Vlad the Impaler and Count Dracula. The gravestone also features the word Trandofir? Trandofer? Trandofer. I can't pronounce it because I'm not Romanian, but it is the Romanian word for rose. In the center of the grave, a Jupiter tree is sprouted. The legend attributes this to the stake, which is supposedly driven through Glava's heart when local townspeople exhumed the body and found blood near his mouth. And that his fingernails were still growing.
Now that's good fucking lore right there. I like that. The tree was from the stake that they used to punch through.
Yeah.
That's good lore right there.
It does kind of solidify the vampire grave.
I like it. It's solid. To be honest with you, like I kind of am a sucker for vampire stories. I don't know why. I just really enjoy those stories.
Yeah, there's just something human about them.
Like, yeah.
It's not like an alien, you know, like vampires feel like they were once people, right?
Yeah, that's like where my mind goes. I'm not saying they were or whatever, but there is something to it that I really find interesting.
I should note that the process of the fingernails looking like they're growing after death is just like the flesh kind of pulling back from around it. Your fingernails don't actually still grow. Maybe they do. I don't know. I haven't been dead and checked my fingernails, so we'll figure it out anyway.
Yeah, let us know when you get that information.
Yeah. Believers say that a shadowy figure thought to be Glava can be spotted in the cemetery at night. From there, we move on to... God, this is what
I love.
This
is going to be a good one, huh?
Just the name itself makes me laugh. That's why I love the paranormal and cryptids and things. A cryptid encounter known as the Wazooie Man.
Who the fuck came up with that name? That's like a mix of words, like a kazoo and
maybe Wisconsin. I hope that's what he was just yelling as he was running around.
Kazoo?
Wazooie.
Oh, I was thinking kazooie.
Instead of like Bigfoot screams and stuff, he's just yelling wazooie.
He's just playing a kazoo.
Yeah, he's playing a kazooie.
Yeah.
Banjo kazooie.
Yes.
Okay.
It's all related. It all fits.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine. It was 1973 and two boys were playing in the arroyo, which is, quote, a gulch or dry creek in the Pueblo area of Colorado when they had an experience that they would never forget. They came across a creature that they would later nickname the Wazooey Man. I guess we need to ask these two. See why they chose that.
Yeah, what's a Wazooey?
I do remember. I've started writing this a long time ago, so I'm starting to remember things. They were playing with their air pistols when they noticed that they were being watched by two huge red eyes. Presumably shocked by the bizarre sight, what did they do?
They shot at it.
Started shooting at the eyes with their BB guns.
Yes.
Seemingly prompting them both to be picked up by an invisible force and chucked down a ravine.
Oh, shit. That's a little extra.
Well, it gets better.
Throw these two down a fucking ravine.
Yeah. You shoot the Wazooey Man in the eye, and he's going to Darth Vader you down a ravine.
That sucks.
What sucks worse is that when they were down there, there was a fence along, like an old rundown fence, kind of along the top of this ravine. One of the fence posts was telepathically pulled out of the ground, thrown at the boys, and hit one of them directly on the head.
Oh, shit. Did it kill him?
No. No.
Well, then.
Just tit for tat.
Dude's telepathy isn't that great then.
Utterly.
Maybe it's got a range on it.
Or maybe the fence post was so old that it just didn't do a whole lot. Oh, it just shattered.
True.
Utterly terrified at this point, the boys took off towards their truck, only to realize that they'd somehow lost their keys. With this new hindrance, they panicked and ran to the roads, started trying to hitchhike. But then they noticed that some form resembling, that was quote, some form resembling, quote, a mobile haystack with two huge red eyes, end quote, would manifest every time they tried to go west and force them to retreat back the other way. There's little information on how they escaped from the situation, which they presumably did because they lived to tell the tale.
That fucking haystack coming after you, dude. That sucks.
Only when you move west. If you try to get out, they're like, no. You shot me in the eye with your BB gun.
Yeah, you got to go east, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Back to the ravine where you belong.
Yeah.
A mobile haystack with red eyes.
That is fucking scary.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to fight a haystack, dude. That would suck.
Oh, especially one with telepathic powers. And yeah. that can essentially, like, just manifest itself in and out of reality.
It'll just annoy the fuck out of you by throwing fence posts that don't hurt.
Yeah, and every time you try to walk west, it just shows up. Like,
it's like them ghosts from Mario.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That sucks. Yeah. What a fucking scary story.
It sucks.
Fucking pissed off hay bale.
I found one here. Like I said, we're kind of running shy on Florida experiences. This one was posted to Weird
Florida?
No, goddamn.
Yeah, you're off.
Colorado.
I was like, wait, did you just like fucking wing one in here?
Yeah, the Wazooey Man, like mobile haystacks.
I didn't find shit on Florida, but I found this one story. I'm going to throw it in real fast.
Mobile haystacks and shit. People getting hit in the head with fence posts makes me think of Florida, you know? Like, Florida's a weird place.
That's not wrong.
Oh, God. Anyway, this comes from Reddit. The Reddit encounters thread, and the poster's name is Silence is Lloyd.
Lloyd was never silent.
Lloyd says, first post, just a weird thing I encountered on my first wedding anniversary. My wife and I decided to make the drive to Colorado Springs on the recommendation of a friend of mine. She'd never seen the mountains before, so I figured the Rockies would be perfect. We stayed in a Holiday Inn that was right at the base of the mountain, basically had a great view of Pike's Peak as soon as we looked out the window. She was thrilled. She'd never seen anything like it before, and she's a sucker for a gift shop, so this place was great. We had a wonderful time. On our second day there, we decided to drive up to Pike's Peak, but we were told at the gate we could go up most of the way, but the very summit was closed because there was too much snow. We could still get really far up, though. I think Pike's Peak's around 14,000 feet, and we got to like 11,000 feet before it was closed off, so we were above the clouds, which was awesome because it looked like we were looking out over the ocean. We stopped at a little rest center along the way and got some hot chocolate for the drive and a magnet for Colorado since we collect things like this at every state we go to. It was pretty cool because we'd seen Bigfoot crossing signs along the way up, which is really fun to take pictures in front of. Anyway, once we got to the closed off part of Pike's Peak, we parked our car and got out and just kind of took in the view. I didn't think anybody else was up there with us, except the guy a little way up sitting in his truck, making sure people didn't go up any higher than they were supposed to. Even if we couldn't go to the summit, it was still gorgeous. We took some pictures, all of which were pretty terrible, and it was really cold. But I'd insist we buy, we'd buy warm jacket, pants, and boots for the trek, and my wife couldn't understand why I demanded a specific brand. Anyway, so we were pretty toasty. I wandered off and started looking around rocks and what few trees were up at that elevation. I just like to explore stuff off the beaten path. I heard some snow crunching nearby, so I assumed it was another sightseer. So I moved toward the sound of the crunching snow, but didn't see anybody. There was a few trees here and there, but not hard to really see. It was snowing a bit, however, and the wind was blowing the snow sideways. I'd gone pretty far from my wife when at this point and didn't want to stray much further, but I was honestly hoping to see a wolf or something. I found tracks in the snow, and they were pretty small. The snow was kind of deep, so I couldn't tell what kind of animal had made them, but it looked like it was walking on all fours. So I was really hoping to see a wolf. I did not see a wolf. At first, I didn't see anything. I followed the tracks around a tree and kind of carefully peeked out around it, but still didn't see anything. The tracks just stopped there, though. I didn't get right up on the tree because if it was a wolf, I didn't want to be face to face with it. And also, I have no idea if there are actually wolves in the Rockies. I was just sort of hoping to see one. What I did see eventually was a pure white thing, for lack of a better explanation, scurry away from the exact location I was looking. It was pure white. I'm not sure if it was invisible or if it just blended perfectly with the snow. It moved on all fours. It had a huge bulbous head, kind of like the way you think a typical version of an alien would be. And it had a slender, spindly body. Its arms and legs were super skinny. Its body wasn't a whole lot bigger. Its arms and legs themselves were really long. I'd say probably between 4 and 5 feet tall if it were standing upright. It was a bit hard to tell when it was running on all fours and in the snow. It turned around and took a look at me, and it had really small black eyes and no defining features. Its eyes were really far apart, almost to the side of its head. Its feet and hands were buried, but when it went to move, I saw what its hand looked like. It had fingers that were way too long. Like not ET long, but wiry and spindly fingers. It looked at me for just a second and then leaped forward away from me. As soon as it landed in the snow, it became invisible again, or maybe I just couldn't see it. Then it hopped again. It jumped a good 6 feet or so from a dead stop. It took off running. It ran away from me and scaled some rocks in the distance like it was nothing and just crawled along this cliffside. Whenever it was in the snow, it looked invisible, though. I'm not sure if that's because it was all white or if it because it was actually, like, turning invisible, some sort of camouflage. Anyway, in just a few seconds, it was gone. When I got back to my wife, she was waiting in the car and didn't believe a word of it. I thought that I was just trying to scare her. To this day, she still doesn't believe me. I don't know what it was. I've never heard any cryptid or anything like it. And on the trek back down, I asked the lady at the gift shop if people had ever reported seeing weird things, and she just mentioned Bigfoot.
Creepy.
It is creepy. That's gross. It feels a little rakey.
Yeah.
A little bit. I don't know that I've heard the description of the eyes being so far apart, though. And then the confusion between it turning invisible or just perfect camouflage, which essentially perfect camouflage would be invisible.
Kind of made me feel like the Dover Demon kind of had that vibe to it. Big bulbous head, skinny, yeah. Spindly body. I don't know that it was invisible, though. It also makes you wonder if it is some sort of invisibility, like some sort of cloak or something. If it was like the weird static kind of invisibility you hear with certain encounters like this, like the Glimmer Man and shit like that.
I feel like it wasn't. I feel like if anything, it might make more sense that it was just that perfect tone of white.
Yeah.
That it essentially just because it would just be weird that it would just cloak on and off for whatever reason. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it does feel like a natural camouflage. Yeah. And whatever this creature was, almost like the way he described it, felt like native to the area. The way like it moved through the snow and it climbed around the rocks like it had been there before. You know, like you pull something out of the desert and you throw it on a mountain, it's probably not going to be able to get its bearings real quick.
Yeah, but something sucks.
Yeah, something that lives there and just kind of scales along the cliffside
it's gross.
Creepy, it's A. Gross. And B, it makes you wonder about like if these things really do exist there, because if you're 14,000 or 11,000 feet up on Pike's Peak, there's not going to be a whole like, yeah, it's a tourist destination, but not when it's frozen out there. They've right. got a lot of mountain that they can exist on where people not even just don't go, aren't allowed to go.
Yeah.
You know, there's people there keeping them off the mountain. So I thought that was pretty interesting. The next one I got here, I'm going to go to some books for. This one comes to us from a book by Linda S. Godfrey called I Know What I Saw. So this report of a close encounter comes from Colorado, April 6, 2018. This particular man saw a deer woman.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. It says, Colorado, April 6, 2018, when a man and his girlfriend, who was driving, were looking for a place to eat near Colorado Springs one night during a misty, light snowstorm. They weren't having any luck finding a restaurant, he wrote me, but both felt compelled to keep looking despite a growing fear that something was wrong. They were debating turning back when they noticed six or more deer running on a hill to the right of their car. Nearby them was a fence that looked like a limp, was a fence with what looked like a limp, dead deer hanging from it. They also discovered a restaurant just ahead and pulled into the parking lot, only to be met with a truly strange spectacle. Quote, as we pulled in, we saw them. The deer people. That is really the only way to describe them. There were about a dozen scattered about. They appeared to be about 6 feet tall, or only a few inches under, standing upright with thin waists and legs, but looked somewhat human-like. The strange part, he added, was that their upper bodies, which had very wide shoulders with wide necks and heads that seemed far too big for their bodies. They were covered with fur. Their faces, however, resembled those of a deer, and their eyes were wide-set and black. And they had large ears. A few of them had antlers. He and his girlfriend both saw them. The man said they seemed fully physical to him, but his girlfriend, whom he described as, quote, a materialist and a teacher with a degree in biology, thought that they looked, out, quote, out of phase. The writer did not say whether they stayed to eat or left immediately, but I presume they left. One of the creatures, however, seemed to have followed them home. The next night, as he lay in bed, he heard footsteps and heavy breathing, then saw a tall, dark shadow in his room. Not long after that, he was smoking on his apartment balcony when he saw a large figure standing on a nearby riverbank staring at him. It had the same oversized head and neck and the deer-like muzzle that they'd seen when they were driving. He ran to get his girlfriend to witness it, but by the time he could bring her to the balcony, it had disappeared.
This is a fucking not deer, bro.
Yeah, it was something.
It's the not deer. But either way, terrifying. It's crazy that it followed him home.
Yeah. Yeah. That specific level of intent sucks.
It's like a fucking intimidation tactic.
Yeah. And how, like,
don't talk about us.
Like, how would it know, like, who they specifically were?
Yeah. Know? And then it got into his room, right?
Yeah. That's what started. He saw the shadow.
Fuck that.
And he's assuming like that it was the same thing that he had seen, you know, like, because he went out like, hey, there's a shadow that woke me up in my room. I want to go smoke. And there's deer dude hanging out over by the riverside over there. So.
Because at first I was like, whoa, cool. That'd be kind of cool to see. If they were just like there and then they just trotted off.
Yeah, I kind of had it in my head.
Not if you're trying to follow me home and shit.
Like, was it a centaur? Was it a minotaur? How did that? How'd that work?
I was wondering the same thing because the most of the description was that the upper body is that of a deer.
Yeah, but like a man deer.
Yeah, it'd be really fucking awkward if the lower half was dude and the upper half was deer.
Yeah, Colorado's. I mean, it's weird.
Definitely got some strange shit going on.
I go back to a different Linda S. Godfrey book here for the next encounter. This is American Monsters. And this particular one from Colorado here, titled Frog-Faced Aliens. Man, Colorado's just full of aliens. Okay, I'm just trying to find where to start here. So an example of support of this opinion, a person cites a case from an unnamed book of UFO abductees. Frog-like aliens abducted a cattle hand in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains of southern Colorado. They hauled the cowboy aboard their craft, and he soon found himself in the unusual Spartan UFO examination room, where he had an ample opportunity to observe the characteristics of his abductors. He said there were five of them, three males and two females. They had lizard-like arms and legs, hands that were described as greasy and fish-like, possibly flippers or fins, with humanoid torsos and humanoid private parts. The cattle hand endured the usual intrusive medical examination that is so often a part of alien abduction reports, but survived to tell the tale. Frog aliens.
It reminds me of the aliens from Super Mario Bros. Movie, which you've probably never seen.
Yeah, I have.
Did you see it?
Yes.
That's surprising.
The live action one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch a lot of movies, but the movies I do watch are usually garbage.
Wow. I mean, to each his own.
What were they, Koopas? Goombas?
Yeah, Koopas.
Yeah. I hope they look like that.
Yeah, well, that sucks. Didn't they wear, like, trench coats in that? Yeah,
they weren't wearing them in this one because dude was eyeballing their cranks.
He got that thing.
I mean, if you're going to get abducted and be examined, like, I get it. You're trying to check out what's going on.
Just abduct people with your thing hanging out?
It's just out.
A little rude.
Just got it out. You're an alien. You're a frog-faced alien. You do whatever the fuck you want.
No worries, since we're here.
Yeah. It is interesting that, like, I mean, I don't know why I would think that there wouldn't be, like, different sexes of aliens, but, like, you don't really hear a lot. Most aliens just kind of have that, like, anatomically incorrect Barbie package.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really hear about...
Got the old hammer out.
Yeah, don't really hear about that. But I'm glad he included that in his report. Glad that was a thing.
It was something that we needed to know. Yes. Now the debate has been put to rest.
Okay, from there, I really did use the library on this one because on the internet there wasn't a whole lot to find about Colorado. So this one comes from Jason Offit's book, Chasing American Monsters. That has a whole chapter on Colorado, actually. Interestingly enough, but it mentions the vampire from Lafayette and a couple other things we're going to talk about here. Living dinosaurs from Colorado.
Oh, nice.
Myrtle Snow of Pagosa Springs in north central Colorado told Empire Magazine in 1982 that as a child, she'd seen living dinosaurs. In 1935, when she was three, she saw five, quote, baby dinosaurs after the dinosaurs attacked a local farmer's sheep. The farmer shot one, and she got a good look at it. Quote, my grandfather took us to see it the next morning, she told the Empire. It was about 7 feet tall and gray, had a head like a snake, short front legs with claws that resembled a chicken's feet, large stout back legs, and a long tail. The fanciful tale of living theropod dinosaur, such as a velociraptor or juvenile T-Rex, maybe. Over the years, residents of Pueblo, Colorado, in southeastern Colorado, have also claimed to see theropod dinosaurs running through the countryside. The creature is described as a small T-Rex at about 3 feet tall. It has powerful hind legs and tiny front legs, also a long tail. I hope there's dinosaurs in Colorado.
That is, remember when you covered one from Texas?
Yeah. people know what fucking dinosaurs look like. That's they're so not getting shit confused.
Yeah, that's so weird to me to think that the because you would think that something like that wouldn't do a whole lot of hide and seek.
No, it probably eats everything that sees.
That's what I'm saying.
And the fact that they're like they're I'm assuming they're all dead now. It's 1935, but there were other people that like saw this thing that he shot. And the way she described it, like, try to, like, tell me another animal that resembles that.
Yeah.
Right?
And she said it was, like, 7 foot tall,
Seven feet tall.
That's fucking big.
Yeah. 7 feet tall, was gray, had a head like a snake, short front legs with claws that resembled chicken's feet, large stout back legs with a long tail.
It does sound like either a velociraptor or a baby T-Rex.
And the fact that that other people from different times saw other baby T-Rexes, T-Rexi, also in Colorado.
Yeah, because that's what the one in Texas was.
Yeah.
So we called it Time Portal T-Rex.
Weird.
It is weird.
If anybody's seen a fucking dinosaur.
A T-Rex.
Yeah, a T-Rex or a velociraptor. What do they call them? Theropods?
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell. If anybody's seen one, email us.
Yeah.
I need more T-Rex in my life.
And then capture it.
We
do have a P.O. box that you can mail it to.
Mail us the T-Rex. This next one I'm just going to... it's more like lore, kind of like urban legend kind of thing, but I'm going to include it because it has lumberjacks. Kyle's a lumberjack.
Oh, okay.
The Slide Rock Bolter.
Sounds weird.
Miners and lumberjacks in the 1800s came out of the mountains with tales of a land whale that lived on the slopes and fed off any animal that wandered in front of it, especially humans. This huge creature would lurk at the top of mountains, lying in wait for days, unmoving. It latched itself onto the mountainside with hooks on the end of its massive fluke tail. When prey approached, it would simply release the hooks and just slide down the side of the mountain, tearing through trees and boulders before swallowing its dinner with its huge, saw-toothed mouth. One of the earliest printed accounts of the Slide Rock Bolter was in the 1910 book, Fearsome Creatures of the Lumberwoods, by William T. Cox. As years went on, Colorado became a vacation spot. The Slide Rock Bolter has been blamed for missing tourists that it apparently loves to dine on. Yeah, here is another vampire story we can kind of add to the vampire list here.
Well, real quick, how does the whale get back up the mountain?
Just shimmies up there, bro. It's got a hook tail. It just pulls itself back up.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I was just curious.
I mean, it didn't say it wasn't grappling hooks.
That's true. Obviously, that's what it was, right? It's got to be grappling hooks.
That's the only thing I can think of, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
Just retract itself up the mountain. I love that it just eats. I mean, it kind of feeds like a whale. Like a whale, a regular whale will take in everything just to, like, eat the plankton and shit.
Yeah.
But, like, kayakers and small fishing boats, you know how
it's collateral damage.
Yeah. This thing just eats trees and boulders and people and that rabbits. That
sucks, too.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting eaten by a giant mountain whale?
Fuck no. That'd be a terrible way to go out.
So this one here, probably going to be the last one, is a kind of a newer vampire story, also from Colorado. In 2010, a woman drove her SUV into a small canal in Mesa County and told authorities the wreck was caused by a vampire.
Interesting.
According to the Denver Post, she was driving on a dirt road near the town of Fruta on the western slope when she saw a vampire in the road. Terrified, the woman, not identified by police in the article, put the SUV into reverse and drove it off the road where it overturned. Authorities say she was not under the influence of drugs and alcohol.
Oh, I was going to suggest that she was drunk.
No. Oh. Not at all, Kyle.
Well, I mean, it's a fair assumption.
Yeah, I mean, that was my first question.
What kind of drugs were you on, lady?
I love that, like, they didn't, like, they didn't ask her, like, what did your vampire look like? Like, no, I just saw one, drove my car off a cliff.
It does feel like a natural response to seeing a vampire, though.
Yeah, that's true. I immediately thought, like, asking what the vampire looked like was the natural response, but clearly it was just driving your car off a cliff. Can you imagine, like, her insurance agent?
No.
Okay, so tell us. Okay, you wrecked your car. Tell us what happened. Well, I was stopped in the middle of the road by a vampire, so I put it in reverse and backed off the cliff. He's going to be like, all right, great. Great. That's going to translate well.
Yeah, I would have done that too.
So there you have it, folks.
That's fucking great. That's a good way to end it.
40 and 50 Colorado. I am not doing the mental gymnastics I need to figure out what state is next. Connecticut, maybe?
I have no idea, dude.
I guess I have the world at my fingertips here. States in alphabetical order. We're going to look. Colorado. Ooh, Connecticut's next. Oh, Connecticut, please have some weird shit. When I think of states, Connecticut is the last state I think of.
Yeah.
So, hopefully it's got some weird stuff. But again, happy Monday, Holocult. Thanks for hanging out with us. We love you guys. Except for all you nerds and bitch in the YouTube channel. You all suck it, but whatever.
It's cool.
Hope your week goes well. Everybody stay safe. The weather's been getting crazy. We're right in the middle of tornado season here in the Midwest and down south. Just keep your head on a swivel. And until we hang out again, stay safe, stay weird. And if you're in Colorado, watch out for the damn T-Rex vampires.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.